إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, in the next couple of days, I want to do a quick reminder on marriage. I want to just begin by saying that, of course, you've seen the, those of you who haven't seen, if you would like to see it, you should do that. My detailed lecture on marriage and so on. So you have that, but here's a quick guide to remain happily married. And I'm going to begin by asking this question: do you really want to remain happily married? Because that's it sounds like an oxymoron almost. I mean, who would say no? But the reality is that we are not clear about this. And because we are not clear about this, and because we don't actually make a conscious decision that I want to remain happily married, we tend to imagine that marriage is some kind of magic which happens on its own. It doesn't. It's something that is the result of effort. Effort of doing and effort of not doing. Of doing certain things and of not doing certain things. Marriage is the result of sabr. It's a result of patience. It's the result of forgiveness. Marriage is the result of being more concerned about duties than about rights. Knowing fully well that if both parties are, if both the spouses are concerned about duties, then the rights will automatically get fulfilled. Marriage is about facing reality, which is that we are individuals, we are humans. It is our tendency and our nature to agree on things and also to disagree on things. It is our nature to be irritated about things. So all of this is perfectly natural, but to resist the negative aspects of our nature, not to do what comes naturally, is the meaning of being civilized, is the meaning of being grown up. When we were very little, when we were a few months old, a few days old, a few weeks old, at that age, we did certain things very naturally, without even thinking about it. But as we grew up, we stopped doing them, and a jolly good thing. And if we and we didn't stop doing them because those things suddenly became unnatural. They're perfectly natural, but it's not polite to do that in company. It's not civilized to do that. You go to a particular room in your house, or you go to a particular designated place before you do that. You don't just do it wherever you are. So to go against your nature is the meaning of being civilized, is the meaning of growing up, it's the meaning of being mature. The same thing should apply really to display of anger, display of irritation. May Allah forgive us. I know this is easy to say, but and not so easy to do, but that's the whole point. The whole point is that we do what does not come naturally. Anger is natural. Overcoming it is not natural. Getting irritated is natural. Not showing it is not natural. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the strongest person is not the one who can wrestle someone else to the ground. The strongest person is the one who can overcome his own anger. So to feel angry is a sign of intelligence. At a time when you should feel angry, if you're not feeling angry, it means something is wrong with you. But how do you express this anger? Do you express it at all? Or if you do express it, then how do you express it in such a way that the result of the expression is not worse than the thing that you're getting angry about? Because many times that's what happens. You have justifiable reason to get angry, but the way you do it, that becomes the problem. And the fact that you got angry justifiably, you got angry at a situation where it was the correct thing to do, it's completely forgotten. And what remains is the fact of how you express this anger. You know, maybe you raved and ranted and cursed and whatnot, and people only remember that. And instead that if you had expressed this anger positively, without the raving and ranting and cursing, then what would have happened is that people would have remained focused on what went wrong, and that thing which went wrong would be corrected. So instead of responding angrily if one instead of reacting angrily, if one responds looking at what went wrong and saying, well, how can we correct this? This is what went wrong. This is why it is wrong. This is the harm it causes. So how can we correct that? Now, if we approach it in that way, then not only does our own blood pressure remain under control and so on, but we don't create misery around us where people lose track of what went wrong, and instead people start blaming us because of what we did or how we did it. So very important for us to remember this. And I bring this up in the context of marriage because that's the single point agenda on which marriages go wrong, which is the issue of irritation and the issue of feeling of anger and expression of anger. The point that I want to finally make here is that what people or what spouses don't realize is that it's not some major event, it's not some major crime that is committed that results in the breakup of marriages. In some cases that might be the case, but most cases it's not some major crime that's been committed which results in the breakup of marriages. It's the accumulation of small things, or so-called small things, over a number of years, and that's why we find situations where people, the marriage goes bad after sometimes maybe 15, 20 years or more, and that's the result of accumulation of things over these years. Because many times when that happens, the usual tendency is we say, well, what the hell is wrong? I mean, you remain married for decades, and suddenly now you can't seem to you are breaking up and you can't seem to see eye to eye on anything. But it's not something that happened overnight. It's something that accumulated over time, and that's the reason why it's very important for us to be very clear in our minds and say that it's not magic, it's not going to happen by itself, it will happen if you want to make it happen, so do something about it. If you find that there are irritations, sit down face to face. When the irritation is over, usually not in the middle of it, but immediately thereafter, while the data is still fresh, sit down face to face and talk about that face to face. Bring up data. Don't talk about opinions. Don't give an opinion. Bring up the data and say how it affects you. That's the whole key of feedback, or how to give feedback, is talk about the data and say how it affects you. This is what you did, and this is how I am affected. Don't say, well, what kind of a miserable person are you? How could you have done something like this? And this is mean and miserable. No, don't talk about all that. I mean, it may be mean, it may be so on, but don't say all that. You say that this is what you do. You always leave things away from their normal place. Everything in this kitchen, everything in this house has a place. Your glasses have a place. Your slippers have a place, and so forth. You always leave them elsewhere, and as a result of that, it's very irritating. It causes, whatever it causes, and then so therefore, please don't do that. This is how it affects, and that is the way of giving of feedback. Talk about the data and talk about how it affects you. Don't give your opinion. Opinions can be contested. Opinions will be contested. And then it becomes a ego battle, and it's between me and you, and who's winning and who's losing, and so on. All of which is completely and totally negative, and that's what results accumulation of this so-called small things over time results in a breakup of marriages, sometimes decades after the marriage. So it's not something that happens suddenly. It takes time, but it will happen. Finally, always think about this and say that do things for the benefit of the other person. Do things. So it's many times you do the right thing, but you do it when you want to do it, and that's loses its value. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you more for charity you give when the other person wants it. He said Allah will reward you more for a loan than He will reward you for a gift in terms of charity. So the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, we give a loan and we take it back. But we give the gift and we don't take it back. So why is the reward of the loan more than the reward of the gift? Rasulullah ﷺ said, you give the gift when you want to give it, but you give the loan when the other person needs it. So even if you are taking it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you more because you responded to the need of the other individual rather than to your own desire to give. And the same thing applies in these cases. In marriages, doing something when the spouse wants it has far more value than doing the same thing or even more when you feel like doing it. So, you know, you use some good sense. The whole point of doing this is because you want to please your spouse, and there's nothing intra-dig about pleasing your spouse. So, if you're doing it for that reason, then do it when it's most likely to please. So, and then don't sort of make it into a power game where you will do it, but you will not do it when somebody tells you to do it because you want to show that you are the boss, and therefore, you know, why should I do something whenever you want me to do it. You should do it because you want the marriage to remain. You should do it because you want the marriage to succeed. And as I said, decide you want to remain married or you don't want to remain married. It's as simple as that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good sense to do what it takes to please Him, because that is what also results in our own welfare. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.